Holy Boldness, an exposition of Acts chapter 5, verses 17 through 42. This message by Pastor Rod Harris was delivered at Trinity Baptist Church on Sunday morning, March the 21st, 2010.
Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the day you've granted to us. I pray that as we come to your word, that you will open it to us. I pray that you would speak the word that we need to hear, that word that's going to challenge, that word that's going to enable us to be the kind of people that you desire us to be. As you speak, grant to us ears to hear and eyes to see. More than that, grant to us the courage and the boldness to live out your truth. This we pray in the name of Jesus, the Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Well, he's my hero. He's the kind of person I want to be when I grow up. He's a leader of men. He's a man of courage and conviction. He's a manly man. His name is Hagar the Horrible. And that's who I want to be. Hagar is one of my favorite characters. And Hagar has his faithful companion, Lucky Eddie, and they're always together. And one of my favorite episodes has Hagar and Lucky at the bottom of a hill. And on the top of the hill is this unnumbered army, and they're raining down on them. Arrows are flying by. Cauldrons of boiling oil are on the ready, getting ready to pour that down on them. Hagar takes his sword, turns to Eddie, and says, "Take no prisoners." Sometimes I feel like Hagar and Eddie at the bottom of the hill. And it seems to me there's an unnumbered army coming down. It seems like it's you and me against the world. At times it seems like it's you and me against everybody else. We're moving this way and everyone else is moving that way. It seems like the thing the Lord told us to do, nobody else wants to do. At times it seems like it's you and me against the world. It was the same way in the first century. The early church found itself in the same position. They were going the opposite direction. They were starting a new movement, but they were victorious. We're here today because they succeeded. It was that struggling handful of believers who shook their world. They turned their world right side up. They didn't turn it upside down. It was already upside down. It had been since the fall. The fall had destroyed and broken everything, and they were in the process of making it right. And yet, they were victorious. You and me against the world sounds crazy. And it would be if that's really how it was. It'd be a crazy thing if it was me and you against the world, but that's not the way it is. The way it is the world against the Lord God Almighty. And then he's called us to join him in what he's doing in the world. God expects us to make a difference. God expects us as a church to impact this community. God expects us as a church to impact this city, state, nation, and really the world. How in the world are we going to do that? How can we impact the world? How can we change the world when it's just us against them? Well, our text this morning is found in Acts 5. Acts chapter 5, and I want us to look at something that happened in the life of the apostles that teaches us something about how we make a difference in our world. What's it going to take for us to impact not just Southwest Tulsa, but the nations? It's going to require of us a holy boldness. Look with me, Acts chapter 5, and let's begin at verse 12. Now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people at the hands of the apostles. And they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared join them, but the people held them in high esteem. And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. The people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. But the high priest rose up, and all who were with him, that is, the party of the Sadducees, and filled with jealousy, they arrested the apostles and put them in public prison. During the night, the angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, "Go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." And when they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach. What's it going to take for us to change the world? What's it going to take for us to have a real, lasting impact on the world around it? It's going to demand of us a holy boldness. But where does that come from? And what does it look like? What does it look like with flesh and bone? How does it work itself out? How is it we're going to make this difference? Three things I want to share with you real quick this morning. First, this kind of holy boldness is born in the call and the commission of our God. It's the only place you get it. It's not something you work up. It's not something we just determine we're going to do. It's not something that we get together and say, you know, we've studied it for a long time now and we really think we've got it figured out and we're just going to have to suck it up. We're going to have to pull ourselves together and we're going to have to go get this done. It's not something we can work up. It's not something we can do by sheer will and sheer determination. It's something that is born in us when God calls us, God commissions us. Because when He does, He also empowers us. When God calls us to a task, He gives us everything necessary to accomplish that task. But it begins with our understanding that it is God who has called us. It is God who has commissioned us. He has commanded us to go. Now, what happens here is a response to what was going on. This is at a time when great things were happening. You remember the day of Pentecost when the Spirit of God fell and they spoke with great boldness and there were tongues of fire and men from all over the world heard the gospel in their own language and they believed and there was added to the church 3,000 that day and this mighty outpouring of the Spirit. Just after that, Peter and John go to the temple. There's a beggar and they say, "Silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have you have. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk." And he's healed and this great miracle takes place. Peter and John are then sent before the council and they are commanded not to preach anymore, not to do anymore in that, but they preached the gospel even there and they went out with even greater boldness. The beginning of chapter 5 is the story of Ananias and Sapphira. Those two faithful believers in the church who lied about what they did with the money. They sold some property and while all these others were giving everything to the church, they weren't commanded to do that. They said they did that when they didn't. They lied and God's Spirit was so real and so present in the church, they died having lied to the Spirit, having lied in the assembly of the people. That shook the church and the community. Great things are happening. Great miracles are happening. Signs and wonders. Incredible things which are causing people to be drawn to them, which is causing the leadership to back away from them. In the passage just above where we started reading, it says that the people gathered, but none of the others dared, meaning the religious establishment. They didn't get involved. They didn't want anything to do with it. They were suspects of it. And in response to all of that, out of jealousy, they arrested the apostles. Verse 17 says, "The high priest rose up, and all who were with him, and that is the party of the Sadducees, and filled with jealousy, they arrested the apostles and put them in public prison." Now earlier, back in chapter 4 and verse 18, they had been told specifically, don't ever preach again in this name. Don't ever go around telling this story again. Don't go with this message. And that's exactly what they were doing. Now they're carrying out on their threat. But how are they motivated? How are they driven? It is by jealousy. It is out of anger that they do this. They arrest them, put them in jail. But look at what happened. During the night, an angel of the Lord appeared to them in prison, opened the door, and told them to come out. And then look at what he says, verse 20. Go, stand in the temple, and speak to the people all the words of this life. Here's the commission. The first is that they are to go. They are to take the message. They're not to keep it to themselves. They're to go out among the people. They are to stand. And he uses a very specific word. It means to take a fixed position. It doesn't just mean, hey, when you go out there, you know, stand up when you say it. He's saying, take a stand. Stand visibly. Stand in such a way that everyone knows that you're doing this on purpose. Everyone understands that there is a reason for your doing this. And then he said, tell them the words of this life. Give them my message. There's the call. There's the commission of the Lord. Now, they've been threatened. They've been put into prison. They're now awaiting trial. It's in the middle of the night. An angel causes a jailbreak, tells them to come out, and says, now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go back to the temple. I want you to go to the place you were arrested. I want you to take a very visible stance in public, and I want you to declare with great boldness my message. Now, here's the amazing thing to me. The text says, and at daybreak, they went to the temple and they began to teach. Why is that significant? It's significant because what it means is, at the very first opportunity, they did what they were commanded to do. What's the context? They had already been threatened, don't you ever speak again in this name. Don't you ever preach again. Don't ever do this again. Now they're arrested. Now they're waiting trial. Now they're broken out of jail and told to go do it again. And the very first chance they got, that's exactly what they did. That's boldness. That's a boldness that comes from somewhere beyond inside of you and inside of me. This isn't a matter that they just said, hey, this will be fun, let's go do that. They were compelled because God had called them. God commissioned them and He gave them a message. Go stand in the temple and proclaim my message. You and I have been called to take the gospel into all the world. You and I have been called to tell the message of Christ. You and I have been called to speak this truth wherever we are and to whomever we meet. We are called. We are commanded. We are commissioned. That brings us to the second thing about this boldness that's born from above. This boldness that comes from God. It originates in His call and His commission. But second, this holy boldness refuses to be intimidated. Everything in them said, you know, we really ought not do this. But they went at the first opportunity and began to teach and preach. So what happened? Look back at verse 21. Now when the high priest came and those who were with him, they called together the council and all the senate of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officer came, they didn't find them in prison. So they returned and reported. We found the prison securely locked and the guards standing at the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside. Now when the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these words, they were greatly perplexed about them, wondering what would come of this. Can you imagine the scene? Luke uses very clear language. They've threatened them. They've locked them securely in prison, have guards on them. The next morning, the high priest and his entourage and the full Senate of Israel, meaning all of the religious establishment, all of the officials, were paraded into the courtroom. And you have to get the picture in your mind. These are the most powerful men in Israel. These are the leaders. These are the authorities. And it's an official gathering. So they're there in full regalia. They're there in all of their glory and splendor. They're there with all the pomp and circumstance that comes with a meeting of the High Court of the Jews in a very public way, because this is their opportunity to come up against this rabble-rousing group, and they have a bold statement they're going to make publicly. So with great fanfare, they come in, and you picture this courtroom with it's packed with people, and you have the high priest and all of the judges there, and they say, bring in the prisoner. And the guy goes out and he comes back. Wouldn't you love to have been the guy who has to tell them? I don't know, I picture it that there's some kind of drum and big announcement as he comes in, and the door is open, and everybody turns and looks, and this one guy comes walking in. And he has a look on his face that says, this isn't good. And they say, where are the prisoners? And he says, yeah, about that. I went down there, and the door's locked, and the guards are there, and they say they've seen nothing. But there are no prisoners. They're gone. And one of the great statements in Scripture, they wondered what would come of this. Now, you know what they're thinking? I think the high priest said, and it's just not recorded for us, I think he said, well, great, they're gone now, we'll never find them. Because they have to be intimidated. They have to be afraid of us. And just as he's saying that, somebody else comes in and says, about that. They're down at the temple preaching. Boldness that's born of the call and the commission of God is a boldness that cannot, will not, absolutely refuses to be intimidated. So they obey. They go right back. They start preaching the same message again. So, they send for them. Verse 25. Someone came and told them, look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then the captain with the officers went and brought them, but not by force, for they were afraid being stoned by the people. Can you imagine? They broke out of jail. They're doing the thing they were commanded not, and they have to say to them, would you mind coming with us? They can't grab them. They can't cuff them because they're afraid of what the crowd's going to do. Now, isn't it interesting? They didn't force them to come. They gladly went with them. Why? Because they had a boldness given to them by God that could not be intimidated. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest questioned them, saying, now we strictly charge you not to teach in that name. Yet here you fill Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. That's interesting, isn't it? You're trying to make us the criminal here. You're trying to bring this man's blood on us. Do you remember what they said earlier? In fact, if you go back to Matthew 27, when Pilate said, this man's done no wrong, it's this crowd that got the mob shouting, let his blood be on us. Now they're saying, you're trying to make it out like we're to blame. You're trying to put this man's blood on us. But Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him to his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit whom God has given to those who obey him. They're told, don't you ever preach in the name of Jesus again. They go down and they say, will you come with us? They come back. They stand before the high priest in all of his robes and all of his finest with the full Senate there in the view of the whole public in the most intimidating place possible, the most intimidating circumstance imaginable. And not only were they not intimidated, they started preaching that message right there in the center of the high court. And they boldly declared the truth. And they pointed their finger right in their face and said, Jesus, whom you killed. Jesus, whom you murdered. But God has raised him from the dead, and we're witnesses to it, and we're going to tell everyone. Boldness that is born of the Spirit of God as God calls, commissions, and equips us. When they heard this, they were enraged and they wanted to kill them. The Pharisee in the council by the name of Gamaliel, teacher of the law, honored by other people, stood up and gave orders to have the men put outside for a little while. And then they have a conference. And he goes on to tell them that, you know, we've had uprisings before and they've come and gone. Now, my suggestion is we leave this alone. If it's not of God, it'll fade away. If it is of God, we couldn't stop it even if we want to. They decide that's how they would handle it. But the point of emphasis is, these men would not be silenced. How different that is. For Peter. You remember Peter who said, Lord, on the night that our Lord was betrayed, I'll die for you. I'll take my stand and I'll give my life for you. And Jesus looked at him with great pity and compassion and said, Peter, I know you mean that, but by tomorrow morning you will deny that you even know me. Three different times. He did. Three different times, three different people. One of them, a teenage slave girl. Peter didn't have the courage to acknowledge he even knew Jesus. And now Peter is standing, pointing his finger in the face of the high priest, saying, Jesus, whom you killed, God raised, and I'm going to speak it, and I'll preach it everywhere. What's the difference? The call, the commission, and the enabling of God. He will not be silenced. Now see, it's easy for me to say, I don't know why Peter wouldn't stand up. After all he had seen and heard, well, I don't know why I won't stand up either. I don't know why I let circumstances silence my tongue. But I do. And you do. How do we avoid that? How do we overcome that? We come back and acknowledge and understand, God's called me. And I need to be faithful to that call. God Himself has commissioned me to speak. And I must speak. You remember Jesus talking to His followers on one occasion in the Gospels, and He said, don't be afraid of those who merely have the power to kill you. You need to be afraid of the one who can kill you and destroy your soul. In other words, Jesus said to those who were His, you need to stop being afraid of men who only have the power to take your physical life from you. And you need to develop a healthy fear of the one who can destroy your soul, God Himself. Not the devil, God. See, our problem is, we have a greater fear of men than we do of God. God called us. God commanded us. God commissioned us. And we must not be intimidated. Not because of our eloquence, not because we got all the answers, but because we stand and speak on behalf of another who said, I will supply what you need. I will give you the words to speak, and I'll give you the authority to speak and the anointing. So how did the story end? Well, they decided they would let him go, but not before they gave them another warning. Holy boldness is born in the call and the commission of our God. It refuses to be intimidated. But look at the last thing, starting in verse 40. And when they had called the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day, in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Holy boldness is born in the call and the commission of our God. It refuses to be intimidated, and it emerges from tribulation with renewed strength and power. I will let you go. But they beat him. And told him again, don't you ever preach in that name. So what they did? They left rejoicing. They left thrilled. Why? Because they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name of Jesus. And every day, in the temple and from house to house, they preached Jesus, the Christ, the Anointed One, the Son of the Living God. How do we change the culture? How do we change the community? How do we make a difference in our world? By understanding our calling and obey. I know that we have the privilege and the opportunity of living in a country where we get to vote and we have a say in the government and what goes on, and I think we ought to do that, and I think we ought to vote our conscience, and I think we ought to vote for people that we believe will honor God. I have no problem with that, but I'll tell you right now, that will never change the culture. What changes the culture is when people are changed by the message of the gospel. And their lives are changed by the presence of the Spirit of God. And how does that come? Through the preaching of the gospel. And we, the church, have been uniquely called and commissioned by our God to preach the gospel. That's our task. That's our responsibility. And when you and I are faithful to the degree the apostles are faithful in this account in Luke, we're going to change our culture. We'll change our world by the power of the gospel through a holy boldness, born of the call and commission of our God, that will not be intimidated, that when persecuted will emerge even stronger and more determined. You know the stories of what's happened in China as the communist government forced the church underground. You know there's a Pentecost happening every day in China. The church is exploding. The church is exploding in Africa and in South America and in Muslim countries. Because whenever the world tries to intimidate, whenever the world tries to press down, whenever the world is determined it's going to stamp out the witness of the gospel, they only spread the flame. Because it's a message that cannot be stopped. Because God will accomplish His purpose. And when you and I get that, then we're part of what God's doing. May God grant to us a holy boldness to speak the gospel at every opportunity. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You for the truth of Your word, for Your call, and for Your commission. Lord, I pray that we would be found faithful. Faithful in preaching the name of Jesus. Faithful in declaring the truth of the gospel. That we will not be intimidated by those who seek to silence our voice. And that when we're mistreated, when we're oppressed and pushed down, that we'll rejoice because we've been found worthy to suffer dishonor for the name of Jesus. And we'll come out stronger and more determined. Father, may it be true of us. In the blessed, holy, and wonderful name of Jesus the Christ, our Lord and our Savior, we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a Plowman podcast. Find us on the web at theplowman.org. The Plowman features the preaching ministry of Rod Harris, pastor of Trinity Baptist Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, located at the corner of 41st and Union. To learn more about the ministries at Trinity Baptist Church, visit us on the web at www.tbctulsa.org.